try again.
All right, folks, it's that time of the week again, that time as it's Wednesday, hump day, and you're on the air with me, Mark Wheeler, on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. We have a great show lined up for you, folks. I'd like to say hello to everyone that's already in the chat rooms. We've got Greg Hammerhead Crisp. In the chat room, we've also got Mark Yak Sushi, Watanabe, little Mark is in the chat room. They're chatting it up right now about the new kayak fishing radio site that should be up here soon. For everyone to play with and have fun. But go Boston. here we go, folks. This week we're going to change up a little bit. We're going to do one species. What species, you might ask? It's going to be one of my personal favorites, one I grew up fishing for when I was a kid. Even now, I'm inflicted by the pursuit of the flounder or fluke, whichever area of the country or East Coast you're at. And, you know, your tips and tricks and you know, things like that. you know, that, you know, how do you fish for them? We're going to go over that. We're going to go over, you know, what happens when you do catch them? How do you get them in the kayak? Do you use a net? Do you kick them in? To how do you keep them, you know, if you're spending all day out there and you catch one right off the bat and it's a keeper, how do you keep them, you know, able to cut up at the end of the day? And also how to, you know, treat your catch at the end of the day and to eat it. Several different recipes that I use that are really, really, really good that hopefully you'll enjoy too. All right, so let's see here. Let's play this one. He's going to be funny.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's time to talk the flounder.
See? People love the flounder. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. I love flounder. So let's start off with what are flounder? What do they consist of? Well, basis of flounder or fluke or any flatfish is that they're flat. They lay on the bottom 98% of their life. If you ever looked at a picture of them, they got the two eyes on the top of the head, and they're flat, usually with the brownish molted top of their body. The underside is usually white. Most people think, ooh, they're not aggressive because they're on the bottom. Very different in fact. They are extremely aggressive at times, sometimes chasing your bait all the way to the surface to hit it right next to the kayak and or coming out of the water. Now, these fish feed on fish, squid, eels, crabs, shrimp, anything that comes within proximity of their mouth and they're hungry enough for it, they're going to eat it. So let's talk about tactics, or more better than tactics. Let's talk about gear. What kind of gear? We'll start off with a rod and reel. Basically, what I use personally, and a lot of people might chime in about that, is that the rod of choice for me is a 7-foot medium action with a really, 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 can't think of the word right now. Having issues today, folks. With a really sensitive tip. There we go. Back that up with a really good reel. 9 times out of 10, I'm using like a Daiwa Ambassador or a Abel Garcia. Works great. The nice big round reel. Absolutely awesome. Now I'm just going to take a break right now, and we got a caller. Area code 727, you're on the air.
Oh, my God. Mark, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh,
this
you're
is
welcome.
Rob.
Hey, Rob, how you doing,
What's happening? Okay. How's it going today? What are you talking about, man?
We're talking about flounder.
Flounder flatty fish. All right, man. Cool.
Yeah,
been catching any?
Oh, I've been catching a buttload. Absolutely
nice.
Loving it right now. Tried out a few different new tactics and on how to get them, I'm willing to express my knowledge. Hopefully, you have some knowledge too on the flat fish. It tastes wonderful with a nice crab top. Ooh. Anyway, back to gear. A good reel with a decent amount of cranking power. If you got a big doormat, we're talking anything over 19, 20 inches, you're going to have your hands full if you don't have a heavy-duty, well, not heavy-duty, but a substantial reel. So that's number one. You know, good rod, good reel. Let's talk about line. You're going to want to go with as thin a line as possible. I don't go anything less, in my mind, than the teens. On braid. Braid, 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 braid. Braid, 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 braid. Braid, 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 braid. Braid, 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 braid. And did I mention you use braid? You got to use braid. We're talking in some areas dropping 50, 60, 70 feet. And you want to keep the line as vertical as possible. But more on that later. 20-pound braid is the heaviest I'll go. I'm looking at it to be as thin as possible. It's going to cut down on the drag in the water, and B, it's going to help with your feel. If you can feel that fish when he's looking at it, you're going to catch him. Period. With if you listen to my tips on catching flounder. Now, we've gone over rod, which is probably a medium to medium heavy rod with a nice sensitive tip, a good reel, good line. You want to tip that line with about, I'm going to say, 5 to 6 feet, depending on where you're fishing or what you might be getting into, of mono or fluorocarbon. You're looking in maybe the 20-pound range. A lot of people do this, especially up north. I tend not to. Because my rigs already come with a leader or shock leader, however you want to look at it. So you can use a leader, a shock tippet, or not. It's entirely up to you. Now let's talk about how to bait these suckers and hooks and the like. Now there are many different ways of fishing for them. And we're going to start off with the most common, which is bait. Everyone uses bait. Now, Rob, do you use bait down there for catching flounder?
Oh, you can. I don't usually go for that. A DOA shrimp works just as good as a bait, in my opinion.
Right. They look pretty dang close to a live shrimp.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not a meat chucker. Very, very much. I understand that there are times when you do need to go that route. But no, I'm not really a bait guy, you know. Yeah. But I'll tell you, if I'm in deeper water and fishing for flounder, like in Clearwater Pass or, Dunedin or in that area, and I'm fishing deeper water, I'll use a 1/2 ounce DOA shrimp as opposed to a quarter.
So
nine times out of ten, I'm using
a quarter. You just bounce it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right.
It helps to get it down a little bit quicker and everything, but trust me, they don't have a problem finding that for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, and I've caught a lot of flounder on DOA shrimp.
All right. Have you ever gone out just strictly going after flounder? Nothing else?
Yeah, a couple of times. Clearwater Pass is very, very good in the spring and in the fall for flounder. That's when most people catch them around here. Sebastian Inlet, they have, I believe, December is the time to it's like huge, huge flatty season over there in December.
Right.
You got to talk to Dee about that, though. But I know that Sebastian Inlet State Park will put a little thing up on their webpage and advertise, you know, it's major major flounder season. So some reason
right.
they move in and out of the pass, and they're really easy to catch around that time of year. But somebody recently around here got a somebody, you know, will cut out an article in the paper and bring it in. It was a little kid about 7-8 years old, caught a 27-inch flounder the other day.
Wow. That's big for
Grandpa,
down there.
Yeah, Grandpa had him out fishing in 27 inches. Man, that's a doormat for sure.
That's a trophy
parts.
Anywhere. That's a good maybe 7-pound flounder or fluke if you're up north.
Fluke? They call them flukes up there, that's right, north of the Mason-Dixon line there. How big do they get up there in your area? I know it seems like you guys dumping all the steroids in the water up there, all you guys' fish are just like monsters. They're, you know, the redfish and the stripers and the sheep's head and stuff.
Let me take a step back. What are your regulations down there in Florida for flounder?
Oh, a keeper? I'm not sure. I haven't looked at them because I just plain and simple don't keep fish very often. I want to say 12, but don't listen to me and go keep a 12. And if you get caught, you get a ticket. Cause I honestly haven't looked at the regulations in a while, cause I don't ever keep fish.
Right.
But I can look it up for you real quick if you want.
Actually right ahead of you.
I'll come back to that and
okay.
I'm just,
well, as soon as you find it, let me know.
Yeah.
Okay. Up in Virginia, where I'm at, folks, that's where I know. Remember, the regulations have changed. Looking at 17.5 inches to keep your flounder. Anything over 17.5, keep them. And you can keep 4. And just to double check myself, because I just kind of hesitated, last thing I want to do is give up bad jive, but I'm almost positive it's 4, because last year was 5 and at 18 inches.
Well, that's just it. Sometimes you think that you have the regulations down pat and everything. I mean, I could tell you years ago, you know, I knew all the regulations, but anymore, the FWC changes those on a regular basis, you know, from fish to fish, from season to season. So you almost need to, you know, and also I'll tell you this, make sure that you know, anywhere you fish, keep up with your regulations because, you know, they don't care if you know, they changed the regulation and you didn't know.
Yeah. trust
me.
That's a great thing about the, you know, phones that are out there now. You can set up your phone. And I personally do it on my phone on the browser. I have a direct link straight to the Virginia Marine Resources Commission. And, folks, I'll give you that website right now because I just looked at it. It's www.mrc.state.va.us. Okay? And you can see everything up there. Go ahead and click on it. Save the site straight to the regulations. And the minimum size limit, 17.5 inches, and you can keep 4. So, that, you know, that's definitely a big fish down in where Rob's at down in Florida. Up here, that's a keeper. So, all right. Lost my train of thought. Let me take a step back. We went over rods. Da, da, da. Oh, live bait. Okay. A lot of people from North Carolina up to Maryland love using live bait. Personally, for me, I've never had much luck. When I'm talking live bait, I'm talking like a live spot, you know, under 5 inches. Some guys use like 6-7 inch spot. Croaker. I've seen some guys use crab. And a lot of people use gudgeons. Or gudgeons or minnows, mumachugs, wherever you're at. These are great baits. Personally, I use mumachugs a lot. I don't use a lot of live bait or head any success. I'm talking about the larger baits. Those little mumachugs will catch you as many flounder as you want.
Okay,
nice. Okay, go ahead.
Sorry, and this isn't coming from the FWC site. This is coming from KeysKayakFishing.com because the FWC site is giving me a runtime error. But according to this, and this is what I thought it was flounder 12 inches, 10 per person per day.
Oh, my God.
You're allowed to spear, snat, or you're not allowed. Maybe harvest. Hold on. I'm going to quote it. May be harvested by spearing, snatching prohibited.
Right.
So there you go. You're allowed to spear, not snatch.
Wow. That 12 inches,
man. So anyway,
man.
That's it. 12 inches and 10 per day.
Man, I would have had that in the first 20 minutes on Saturday.
Yeah, cool. That regulation is pretty big, but, you know, our things like, you know, redfish and things of that nature are a lot. What's your regulation on redfish up there, for instance?
It's 18 to 26, I'm going to say, because I don't keep anything above 26 personally.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep 2 or 3. Actually, I'll look it up for you.
Ours is 18 to 27, one per person per day.
Yeah, I was right. 18 to 26 inches, you can keep 3.
And you're not allowed to spear. You can't spear or snatch or anything like that.
No.
So no spearing and snatching allowed.
Correct. So, all right, back to topic.
Sorry. Everybody's different, though.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the thing, folks. Go out and, you know, find, before you go out in the water, check, double check, write it down. You know, have your wife call you in the middle of the water to double check and make sure that you have everything right. But a lot of people use live bait. Okay? If you want to catch a lot of fish and you're just going out with the kids and you want to have fun with it, pick up 2 dozen minnows, okay, and use this rig. It's the simplest rig possible. You're going to take your main line, okay? You're going to come down. You're going to buy a bunch of three-way swivels, okay? Really simple. Tie your main line to one end of the swivel. Take about a 2-foot section of leader material, i.e. fluorocarbon or mono, nothing below 20 pounds, okay? All right, so this way you can... you know, you won't lose it in the rocks, which tends to happen. Okay. And then buy a set of kale hooks. They're originally set up, you can't miss them. They look kind of weird, like a screwed up, extra wide gap bass hook. Okay. And about a 2-watt size. All right. Tie that on to the second swivel. Now you have a third little swivel there. What you're going to do there is take about a 10-pound piece, or let me rephrase that, about a 10-inch piece of like 8 to 10-pound mono, the cheap stuff. Tie on your weight, depending on how deep in the current, you're going to use anything from an ounce, if you're in real shallow, slacky water, up to 10 ounces. There you're going to want to move up to like a 20-pound piece of mono. Tie that on there. Okay? Any way you like. Nothing really important for that part. Take that minnow. Okay? You're going to take that kill hook. You're going to hook him from right underneath the head, right out to the top of his lip, right in between his eyes. Send him on down. It's as simple as that. Okay? Now, when you fish with a live bait like that, and you're drifting, what you're going to want to do is slowly raise the rod tip, okay, about, I'm going to say, 8 inches. If you don't feel any pressure or thunks or fishy movements, drop that rod tip back down until you feel the weight hit the bottom. You literally feel it's going to be like a drop, all of a sudden, boom, your line's going to go slack. That's a good thing. That's part of the trick to catching flounder, is that little puff. When that weight hits the bottom, it's going to give off this puff of sand or any or stuff like that. What that's going to happen is it's going to draw the flounder in. Because it looks like a bait fish trying to scurry away. Okay? And that's why you have a little moment jug on there. Now, this technique will catch you a lot of small flounder. A lot. A small flounder. But it's a lot of fun. Now, when you do feel that tap that you'll get with flounder, don't set the hook. Number one mistake everyone does is they feel a tap, they set the hook. Count to 8. Why 8? Because usually I can't make it to 10. So I count to 8. Count, you're going to feel it. He's going to be moving. It's going to be bouncing. You're going to just want to set it. Don't set it. Once 8 hits, raise that rod. Keep raising it until that rod starts to bend over, then start reeling. Once you get an approximate 5 to 6 cranks in and you know he has it, give him just a small little pop. I mean, literally, you're just going to snatch the rod up and down, or just snatch the rod up. That's going to finish setting the hook. Bring him on in. So you've got it. That is the key to using one of those minnows. Is don't snap the hook too fast or set the hook too fast, and don't really set the hook.
You don't want to Bill Dance it?
You do not want to Bill Dance this. You never want to Bill Dance flounder. That's half the key. I have lost many a flounder getting all excited and snatching the bait right out of their mouth. But live bait, you can't go wrong. You really can't if you're looking to catch a lot of fish. On the flip side, if you're looking to use artificials like Rob does, those TOA shrimps, if there's shrimp in the water, they will annihilate it if it's around. And that's one of those where if they hit it, set the hook. Go ahead.
The thing I like about those DOAs is that, everything in the sea just about eats shrimp. Okay?
Right.
And a DOA is a dead ringer, man, for a good shrimp. They make them in all different sizes. And, pretty much if you put that across the path of a fish, it's going to eat it. Nine times out of 10.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. That's why I like it.
Folks, you're going to hear me say it once. You're going to hear me say it 1,000 times. When fishing gets tough, hang on, let me do this right. Folks, when fishing gets tough, I switch to a saltwater assassin chicken on a chain. It works for me, and will work for you too. Thumbs up, smiley face. I'm telling you guys, there's several different styles out now of the chicken on the chain color. You got a paddle tail, you have a curly tail, you have a straight fluke style shad. I use, when I'm flounder fishing, I love the curly tail. Actually, I have one in my hand right now. It's got a nice little fat little body, a nice long glow-in-the-dark tail, and this is killer when I'm working in kind of a little murkier water. And I'm trying to work an area really well around, pylons, things like that. Absolutely killer. And I usually put a 1/4 ounce red or orange jig head on there with a pretty substantial hook. It's that's key, is a good substantial hook. That's going to come about 3/4 of the way down the bait. So that way if they do eat the tail or they do suck it midsection, you're going to hit them every time. You know, that's the thing with when you're using soft plastics with flounder. The hook is already in the middle of the bait. So 9 times out of 10, once you feel that tap, count to 2 and give it a good, you know, hook set and fight your fish. Now, where would you use, this is a lot of questions I get, where do you use a soft plastic or where would you use a live bait? Well, I'd use the soft plastics if I'm casting for flounder. Now, what I do, which I found to be very effective, is to fish, when I'm fishing inside of marinas or inlets, is to fish the docks. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to cast it as far towards the dock as possible by the pylons and let it sink. As soon as it hits the bottom, I'm just going to let it sit there for a second. And I'm going to slow, you know, from, let's say, if my rod is held at 3 o'clock, I'm going to raise it to about 1 o'clock and then back down. And I'm not going to move it for another second or two. And the same thing. And basically just letting that thing just up and drop. Up and drop. Up and drop. And you're going to put it right in front of their face and they're going to eat it and you're going to set the hook. Now, here's the key to this. When they start taking off with that sucker, you've got to get them away from those pylons so you know where they're at. Okay, flounder like to stay in eddies. So if you're fishing an area and you see the water kind of swirl off a spot in the middle of nowhere, fish that area. It's going to hold a lot of fish, period. It's a great ambush point, without a doubt, for any kind of style of fish you're looking for. But for flounder, it's killer. Pylons from, you know, in a marina, rocks, bridge pylons are great too. That piece of furniture that's sitting out in the middle of the water that you know someone left behind is a great hideaway spot also. You know, bad to them, but, you know, it's there. Might as well fish it anyway. And that's when I'll use the soft plastics. Now, if I'm in open water, I will use a... I will definitely use a live bait. Usually it's a mama chug if I have them. And you know, same thing. I only fish minnows like that in open water. Main reason is that little mama chug will wrap me around a pylon or hide in a rock and get me hung up. That's the last thing I need. You know, and you can always use a soft plastics in open water too. You just want to crank up your lead head choice to about, I'm going to say, 1/2 ounce to 3/4 of an ounce or 3/8 of an ounce to get it down there and hold bottom. That's another, you know, really good thing. Now, for my personal favorite, when I'm going after big flounder. Yes, folks, the alarm is a sound. This is Landing Cruise. There we go. This is Landing Cruise Tip of the Week. Yeah, thank you. Now, with Landing Cruise Tip of the Week, folks, this is a secret, okay? And it's called the double jig. Now, what this is, or double tail, however I'm looking at it, is 2 bucktails. Spro bucktails, tsunami bucktails, bucktails from your neighbor next door. Anything will work. But the key to this setup is 30-pound fluorocarbon. Good fluorocarbon. We're talking... Yuzuri Hybrid is a great fluorocarbon for this. Seeger, Seeger, ciguar, however you want to call it, fluorocarbon, is absolutely killer for this. At least 30 pounds. You're going to need at least 36 to 48 inches of fluorocarbon pulled out, okay? Now, for your one bucktail, you're looking at least 3 to 4 ounce bucktail. Big, gnarly bucktail, okay? In any color you like, as long as it's fluorescent green, chartreuse, and white. As long as you have that color, you're set for that one, okay? With the same cup matching hair as the lead head, okay? Tie off your fluorocarbon onto that, okay? Now run about 24 inches up and do about a 8 to 12 inch dropper loop. There's hundreds of websites out there with how to do a dropper loop, or you could use a three-way swivel. Personally, I use a dropper loop anyway. It's better for me. Go ahead and tie that up, and you're going to want an 1/8 ounce bucktail in the same color as your bottom one. Whatever color you choose to use, as long as it's chartreuse and white, it's fine, okay? Tie off that 1/8 ounce one. Now, you're going to want to tip these baits, okay, with a piece of meat. That's the key to this. Now, here are your choices. You have squid, the two different styles. You have your box squid, which everyone uses, or tube squid. Okay? Remember that tube squid. That's going to be very important here in a second. You've got bluefish, flounder belly, croaker belly, what else? But I've used sea robin. If you can get a hold of one of those, are great. The sea robin bellies. Any kind of belly from any fish work great. And live bait or little minnows. Personally, stay away from them, folks. They won't last very long with this rig. But let's take a step back to that tube squid. Okay. Hey, Rob, I got a lot of feedback coming back from you, man.
Sorry, it's not me.
I think it's your fan.
I was sitting outside.
Oh.
Is that better?
Oh, much better, man. Much, much better. Sorry. But more tube squid. Folks, if you buy this thing, it looks like it's the large head section of squid, okay? It's going to be kind of thick, maybe 1/4 inch thick. What you're going to want to do with this stuff is let it thaw out, then cut your strips. For this rig, I cut 2 different sizes of strips. I'll cut a 5-inch piece, you know, a couple 5-inch strips, and a couple of smaller strips like in 2 to 3 inch range. Okay, those 2 to 3 inch ones you want really thin. We're talking like 1/2 inch thin. So you're going to fit on those 1/8 ounce to 1/4 ounce jig heads. Okay, bucktails, excuse me. Cut them all up. You're going to want 2 to 3 tubes to get this done. And take your wife's or girlfriend's Gladlock container. Okay, put the tubes in there. And take some Manhattan oil, smelly jelly, gulp juice, anything with some extra scent. Pour that sucker in there. Okay, close the lid, put it in the fridge, let it sit. Do this the night before you go out. Okay, this is going to increase your hookup ratios out of this world. Okay, it's what I do whenever I go hardcore flounder fishing, and it works great. Okay, so back to the rig, the double bucktail. Okay, when you get out in the water, go ahead and tie up with a good 80-pound swivel to, you know, from your main line to your bucktail. All right. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to tip each, the smaller bucktail with the little piece of squid or flounder belly, whatever bait you want to use, on both. The one on the bottom is going to get a big 8-ounce or the big, bigger strip. Dang, I've lost my mind, folks. I can't talk today. And the top one's going to get the smaller one, of course. Drop it down the bottom. Now, here's where this gets fun, is if you've ever yo-yoed for tuna or amberjacks or anything else, it's pretty much the same thing, but you're not reeling. You're basically just going to keep lifting and dropping your rod tip as fast as pop, or as quickly as it'll allow it. Okay? What this is going to do is it's going to drive anything in the area nuts. Stripers, flounder, bluefish, reds, small children, you name it, it's going to go after this setup. Okay? But we're looking for flounder here. Now, you can be doing this, okay? 9 times out of 10, when you get a hit, it's going to be on that top bait, that little 1/8 ounce bait up top. For whatever reason, the bigger flounder will always hit that top bait. I'm going to say 95%. I'm going to say 90% of the time, they will scarf down that smaller bait up top, and it just turns into a fun, you know, setup. 9 times out of 10, also they hit it on the drop. I don't know why they hit it on the drop like that. You know, and you're only lifting rod, folks, about, you know, 6 inches the whole time to keep it on the bottom. But you've got to make sure it's always hitting the bottom. And so that's the tip. Don't really have to set the hook with this rig, folks, because when they hit that top one, little bit of knowledge for y'all. When a flounder comes off the bottom, he doesn't like being off the bottom. The first thing they're going to want to do is eat it and hit right to the bottom and get all covered up in sand, okay, or whatever. They're down there, mud, whatever. So they're going to come up, eat it, shoot down the bottom. You don't have to set the hook. They're going to set the hook on themselves. This is the same way with live bait fishing or jig fishing, 9 times out of 10. Okay? Ooh, hang on 1 second. Rob Choi's in the chat room. Rob, if you can hear this, call in if you'd like. If not, it won't hurt my feelings. Talking about flounder. Whole hour, some odd minutes of flounder talk. Fluke talk. Flatty, doormat, you name it. Folks, remember, if you need to call in, I should have said this about, let's say 40 minutes ago. If you feel like calling in and talking to the landing crew or Rob, the phone number is 714-816-4727. You can Skype to Skype if you'd like, or you can use your cell phone or home phone. Just come on, give me a call, say, hey, what's up? And, we'll chat and enjoy a nice cold one. Yeah, very nice. Flounder will come up and they'll eat the bait, or they're holding on to the bait. Once you start lifting them up real slow, their head starts lifting off the bottom. Okay? If he has it in his mouth, he's going to want to push his head back down. As soon as he does, he's hooked up automatically. If not, you missed him. Now, another key, another tip. If you miss a flounder, I'm going to say 90%, 99% of everyone, if you've missed a flounder, it's just going to let the bait sit there again. Don't. Think like a fish. Okay, I was just sucked into the mouth of a big flounder. I just got free. Let me sit here and wait for him to eat me again. Not. Sorry, folks, it's not going to happen. That's why 99% of the time you won't feel another bite. Because that flounder knows there's something up. You know, he's not going to eat dead fish that just popped out of his mouth. They just won't do it. They'll move on. But if as soon as you miss them, you start bouncing around away from them, hold on, folks. That flounder's going to pounce on that really hard. And it's, and 9 times out of 10, that's usually the bigger flounder that are that aggressive to get that bait. just reading the chat room. Yes, folks. Yak Sushi Media. If you need anything for your computer needs and internet design, any kind of design on the computer, that funky box with that you're listening to me on, go to yaksushimedia.com, I believe. There, Mark. All right. Apparently not. All right. Not listening. You know, please check that out. But yeah, lost my track of thought. Thanks there, Chip, for they're making fun of me on the chat room, folks. So yeah, definitely try those tips and tricks out for Flounder. Oh, there we go. It's www.yaksushi.com. Yeah, minute late and a dollar short there, Mark. For Flounder. I personally, folks, I flounder fish a lot. And, you know, if you can use any of those three techniques, using them, you know, if you live bait or like your artificials or use the bucktail, the double bucktail, double spro, as some people call it, rig, you can't go wrong. You really can't. So, Rob, you said you used the DOA shrimp. Ever caught flounder or anything else?
Yeah, actually up in Jacksonville, I was catching them at the President's Day Boondoggle. I was catching them on the chicken on a chain with an orange jig head. And that was working. It was just, you know, kind of bouncing it off the bottom and caught a couple of flounder up there that way.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what else is another good... I don't know if you guys have it up there, but we have what we call love lures down here, which is a tandem rig. It's like two curly tails or paddle tails or shad tails or something.
Kind of similar to my bucktail rig.
Yeah, it sounded a lot like that, yeah. Anyway, they call them love lures down here, and they're essentially a trout lure, but you can, if you get in flounder, sometimes you can catch two at a time on those, man. Those are a pretty good... pretty nice setup there for that sort of thing.
Nice. Very nice. Yeah.
But one thing that you got to remember is a flounder is very lazy, and it's going to sit there. It's not going to travel very far to get a bait. Those things, down here anyway, now they might be different there, but here they lay on the bottom. They kind of cover themselves up with a little bit of sand and with just their eyes sticking up out of the sand. Right. And they wait for something to get close enough for them to get it. You know, they're not going to go chasing something down, man. I can tell you that right now. It's just not in there. That's not what they do. They're ambush predators. They wait for something to swim up close enough, and they jump up and grab it.
Right. But that you know, if you're sitting in a situation, and this is what I find, if I'm sitting in a situation where I'm either anchored or really slow drift, if I really start pounding the bottom with that weight or jig head or bucktail.
Flounder pounder rig or something.
Yeah. If I start really hitting the bottom with that and I'm moving real slow, my bite ratio, not hookup, bite ratio goes up. Now, this is going to also attract your trash species, your skates, your bluefish, if you consider them trash at the time, smaller, you know, potato chip flounder, as we call them, or legal flounder where Rob's at. you know, that's where things change. Let me see if I can get Chip. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, can you hear me?
As he scrambles to grab the phone. So, Chip, I know you're in the middle of Banjo Town. There are no flounder. But when you do get out to the sodium water, you know, do you usually fish for flounder, or you stick to the reds, or are they just like a bad catch for you?
Yeah, they're just kind of a bycatch, man. If I'm bouncing a classical on the bottom.
Okay.
So, I mean, going out there with Dee a couple of times at the Goon and all, when I see her pick up one, then, you know, I would start really targeting them and really getting the lures down on the bottom and bounce it along and stuff, keep it in the strike zone. But I've never really actually fished specifically for a flounder. It's just wasn't a target species, you know. We're usually, I spend most of the time fishing either in Keys or off the Panhandle up in Pensacola, so in offshore mostly. So.
Okay. Oh, we've lost Rob. We got a new caller. Hang on 1 second. Area code 804. You're on the air.
You got the other Rob now.
Oh, what's going on, Troy? How you doing, man?
What's up, man? I'm good. How you doing?
Doing all right. Ladies and gentlemen, Rob Troy of AnglingAddict.com?
Yep, Angling-Addict, yep.
Okay, got it right. Rob is another Virginia Knight. He lives up in Richmond and is a frequent Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel flounder pounder if he gets out there enough. So, Rob, what's your favorite technique for flounder fishing, man?
When I went to high school down in Virginia Beach, I used to go for flounder. That's about it. And it was all about the mummy chug thing you were talking about with the 2 or 3 foot section leader and the kale hook thing. But since then, I've grown fond of jigging for them. So mostly just jig head and soft plastic of some sort. Another thing, I was listening to you guys earlier. I wanted to add in one more that I saw somebody using, and I tried only once or twice, and I think it was just a bad day. But it's like a drop shot rig, so it's kind of like your double jig thing, but it's you know not quite as much going on. It's just a drop. I mean, sinker on the bottom, and then. You know, leader, and then a drop shot rig, and from the hook, just a gulp or some sort of soft plastic or something. But I think it's similar action where, like, you just kind of like bounce it up and down constantly, and usually drives the fish wild. And I saw some guys from Florida that came up to the TKA tournament a couple of years ago, and they were just wrecking shop with that setup. So it was pretty cool to see.
Huh.
Otherwise, yeah, for me, I just do the, you know, gulp 4-inch mullet, or if I'm looking for bigger ones, I'll go to the 5 or 7-inch jerk shad on a lead head. I think I do a little differently from you, though. I don't, unless it's really fast-moving water, I don't usually cast a whole lot. I usually just try to do a straight vertical jig.
Right,
because a lot of times, I mean, they're in structure, you know. So a lot of times, when you're pulling the bait across the top of the structure, you're more likely to get snagged, as opposed to if you're going straight up and down. I mean, they still get to see it, and if you're drifting, you know, you're still moving. You know what I mean? But you're keeping the line straight up and down, so you're less likely to snag on something.
Right.
Or if you do, you can pull it straight up, and usually it comes right out.
Yeah.
So.
All right. What's the biggest flounder you ever caught?
About 24, 25 inches or so. I think probably 24. That was a long time ago, though. I think recently it's probably like 22. Well, nothing super huge, but still fun. Hello?
Oh, that was weird. I just got dropped and put back in real fast. sorry there, guys. Yeah, that was really weird. So, Rob, what was your biggest flounder?
I think it's 24.
24?
Yeah. It was several years ago, though. I think in recent years, I think maybe 22.
Nice. Usually around the Bay Bridge Tunnel? You know, heavy structure?
I actually, most of my bigger ones actually have come under from Glenhaven Inn, right under Lesnar.
Right.
I had a friend of mine pulling a 27. That's a really nice fish. Although I've heard of some really nice ones coming out by the First Island, too, so kind of wanted to give that a shot sometime, along with the black drum while they're there.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, definitely.
I hear they're actually somewhat active right now, as opposed to later on in the summer where you see them and they don't want to touch anything you throw at them. So might give that a shot sometime soon.
Cool, man. Awesome.
How about you? What's the biggest one you got?
Actually came when I used to live in Long Island. It was 28. Yeah, it was 28 inches and 11 pounds.
Nice, very nice.
Yeah, it was a very, very large flounder or fluke back then.
Yep.
And that was back when the regulations were like 14 inches. And you can keep like 4 or 5 up in Long Island.
I remember that, man. You're talking about like Fire Island and all stuff like that. I actually grew up partially there. Up until about ninth grade or so. So that's actually where I used to call them fluke too, man.
Oh, yeah. No, it was out of Montauk.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, fishing off of Shagwan Point. So.
Very cool, man.
Very, very cool. So, I don't think anyone else has called in. No, no new callers. Darn. So, while I've got everyone here, let's talk about the contest or game we're going to play on Kayak Fishing Radio and Mid-Atlantic. We got so many sound bites, so little time. And this just in, I'm all scattered brain today, folks, are the new contest that I'm holding on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. What it's going to do, or how it's set up, is pretty simple. This is going to deal with people having to do the podcast. Okay, starting next week, after next week's show, okay, Thursday night, there's going to be a soundbite added to the show. Okay, and it's going to sound pretty much like this. The keyword is mouse. Something similar to that, okay? And then it's going to go right back into the show. What you're going to need to do is listen to two or three of the shows, and I'm going to give a specific date on which live show you need to call in for. We're going to do the 6th of July, folks. Make sure you tune in on the 6th of July, okay, at the live show with your keywords. Now there's going to be 3 keywords set up. Give me all 3 keywords, you know, when we go to do it, and you will win the mega super big time prize pack. And give you an idea, folks, you're looking at almost $300 plus worth of stuff. Gift certificates, baits, you know, a whole bunch of other stuff. So definitely, folks, you want to listen to the podcast. You want to listen in here and get your gear. So it'll be very intriguing. So, Rob, you going fishing this weekend, man?
I don't know yet, man. That's a good question. It's Father's Day, but it's funny how when you got kids, it kind of becomes about the kids, and it's not really about what you want to do. So I don't know yet. Hopefully I'll get to go out. I actually might try for some flounder in the Lesnar if timing works out. I actually caught some small black drum under Lesnar around this time of year last year.
Right.
So I might give that a shot as well. I don't know exactly yet. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Cool. And this is the time of the show where you get to shamelessly plug your website or any other thing you want to do. So go right ahead, man.
Yeah, it's just angling-addict.com. That's my blog. Check it out.
Okay. All right. And, Chip, you going fishing this weekend?
Yeah, I might. Might do a little bit of lip ripping down at the local pond.
Okay.
But depends on how the weather is. Hopefully, we're looking for some rain. It's been dry here in ATL, so. But, yeah, you know, it's the dad's weekend. So don't forget about your Kayak Angler's Choice Award.
Oh, that is very true. Thank you for reminding me. I have it.
Right.
I don't have it written on my sheet. Folks, go to Chip. Could you post it on the chat room so I can remember it? I don't have any of my paper in front of me. I'm very literally. I walked in the door about 7:30 from work and haven't changed yet. So
yeah, no problem, man. It's surveymonkey.com/kayak-fishing-awards. I think that's what we put it at.
Okay.
Let's see. Or hang on a second.
Or they can go to yakangler.com and find it there.
Right.
Go to
yakangler.com. And it is, hang on. Yeah. Yep, it's surveymonkey.com/S/kayak-fishing. Or you can find it on a link on our Facebook page, which is Kayak Fishing Radio. We post it up when we're tweeting from Kayak Fishing Radio. That's fish in, not fishing. Too many letters for the Twitter heads there. So, but yeah, get the nominations in. We got about 37 responses now. We've got nominations in all categories, plus a couple of extra categories that we may have missed. So the names are going to be familiar to a lot of people.
Awesome. And that'll, folks, this is a great thing. You know, it gives recognition to, you know, everyone. If you nominate them, and, you know, even if you want to nominate your best friend, go right ahead. Just get on there, nominate some people, and it'll be fun. Hopefully, I can't wait to see, you know, the results. I think it's going to be very intriguing. So,
I'm going to tell you, as I told Rob on his show last night, you're going to be surprised at the number of nominations that came in for the Kayak Angler's Choice Kayak.
Really?
Pretty interesting stuff, really, as I'm looking at it, as far as the models that you would think would be, you know, get the most nominations. But we're nominating now, and then at the end of, let's see, June, July, probably about the beginning of August is when we're going to open up the voting. And you can vote as many times as you like and vote for your favorites. And then we're going to post the award sometime in November of the Kayak Angler's Choice. It's you guys out there listening and all the folks on the different forums that are going to say who they think is the best in all the little categories. There's the best kayak angler. There's the top kayak fishing guide. There's the most innovative kayak fishing product. Keep in mind, we're looking at kayak fishing things now. Unless it's a fishing rod, you know, I know TFOs are great, you know, and they do a lot of Heroes on the Water stuff, and that's awesome, man. But unless it's a specific rod that is definitely designed for kayak fishing, yeah, you know, we're really looking for kayak fishing specifics. You know what I'm saying?
So could people nominate, like, myself?
No, you can't play, man. You belong to Kayak Fishing Radio.
Yes, folks, that's why this is... Yes, that's what makes it great, folks. We're, you know, I, you know, cannot be nominated, unfortunately, but, you know, but that's a choice that was made, that I made, so that way we can keep everything copacetic, you know, so that we don't go, oh, you know, they made this up and that's why they're number one. No. You know, this is for, you know, y'all, not just us. We want to see what, you know, what y'all have, you know, who you think.
That's right. And Yak Angler, yakangler.com is also sponsoring the award, so they cannot be nominated or vote for any of the nominees. So that would be Mark and Adam of yakangler.com. So, but I think that's going to keep it square, and we're going to try to be up front with it. I'll keep all the records. If anybody wants to see all the nominations and all the number of votes and everything, I'll be more than happy. That's why we're doing it on SurveyMonkey, because we can keep track of all of that. So if, you know, somebody sits there and does, 500 votes for Rob Choi, you know, we can say who did it.
Yeah. Plus, you know, a third party keeps everything, hey, we had no, say. It's all y'all, on who gets voted for and nominated. You know, to keep everything as even keel as possible.
That's right. And it's for bragging rights, man. There's no money or big prizes or anything. We're going to create kind of a little symbol that says, you're the 2011 Kayak Angler's Choice for this category. But it's bragging rights. It's all of your peers out there. I mean, and even though there's competition between forums and stuff, I mean, yakangler.com has sponsored it and said, hey, we know that there's other forums out there, but we want to know who everybody thinks is the best, and they pulled themselves out of it. So I think that's a big thing to do. So they're a great bunch of guys.
It's very cool, man. I'm glad you all thought of
this. Yeah, that goes to Mark and Adam, Aw, thank you guys. I mean, y'all really doing a great job over there at Yak Angler. And Chip, can't say enough, man, about Kayak Fishing Radio. Really enjoy doing this job, if I haven't told you that already. Don't consider it a job. Consider it a privilege. So, my little moment of smoochy moochiness, butt kissing.
I'm not giving you a raise, man. I'm not giving you a raise. No time off.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. So, all right, folks. I think this is going to be the end of the show. We're going to wrap it up. We got Rob Choi and Chip. Thank you again. Rob, a bad backcast. You can catch him at his website at abadbadcast.com. He had a dip out there, unfortunately. For everyone in the chat room, we have Hammerhead Greg Crisp. Greg, if you can throw up your website real fast on the chat. We have thanks again to Yak Sushi for talking nothing about Kayak Fishing Radio, except for the new website that's coming up. Nothing about fishing. To Rob again on the web chat room, thank you. And myself, folks, I don't have a website, but I do have a Facebook page. Greg's website is yakfish.net. Check him out. It's a great little website set up by Yak Sushi Media or yaksushi.com. Let me double check. Can't find it. Where's it at? It's got to be here somewhere. We'll call it yaksushi.com. Yeah. I take faster than yaksushi. Check out him out. Check out yakangler.com, the ultimate kayak fishing resource. Check out Irish Water Dogs. Remember, folks, brave the waves where giants trouble. Tremble. Your local kayak fishing clubs, TKAA and Pirates of Lynnhaven here in Virginia Beach, two great kayak clubs. They're all over the place. Join them. Check out my Facebook page at use my name, Mark Wheeler Jr. You can't miss me. I'm the big luggering ugly guy holding a redfish. Or facebook.com/landingcrew. Email me at landingcrew@yahoo.com if you like. you know, say, hey, you're doing a great job, or get off the radio, you suck. Doesn't matter to me. It all is good stuff to hear from the adoring fans. Yes, I know, notes. Thank you. If I was got home earlier, I would have had my notes. But, folks, again, that's the end of the show. With that, give my outro music. And, folks, remember, wear your PFD, stay safe, take a kid fishing, and have a great day. Hope to see you out in the water this weekend. Remember, folks, catch the show on Thursday with Chip Triggerhugger Gibson at 8 o'clock. Again, folks, Mark Landy Crew Wheeler signing off. Laters.
Headlines.